Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome into the studio none other than Toby Edmonds for another edition of You Ought to Know. Welcome, Toby.
Good morning, Mike.
So, it's Monday. It's warm. I'm thinking that most people have begun or probably are well along to changing out their tires. There's a magic date where if you have studs on the tires that you're using, you have to get them off. And is that the 15th of May here?
No, it was the 1st of May.
Oh, the 1st of May.
Yeah, it's the 1st of May. It's already passed. Yeah, we do. We have some stragglers. Yeah. But for the most part, people's tires are already off.
Yeah, and that's the major change that tends to happen in the spring. What other major changes happen in the spring? I mean, tires are the most prominent.
For Alaskans, yeah.
There's no doubt about
that. Yeah, tires definitely. And like we've talked about before on the show, you know, making sure you're kind of ahead of the schedule and pulling out your tires before you're actually going to change them out is always a good thing to do. Look at them. First of all, make sure you got the right set of tires. If you have multiple sets of tires in your garage or outside, it's always best to kind of get them arranged beforehand. Take a look at them, make sure they're still good, make sure there's still plenty of tread left. Usually your shop, when they do your change out, will let you know how much life you have left on those tires. So if they say, if they did your spring tire changeover, you know, hey, your winter tires are looking a little bare here, then, you know, definitely keep that in mind coming up this fall. Make sure you're ahead of the rush and get those tires replaced beforehand. So tires for Alaskans, and then, of course, you know, going through the car and making sure everything's good for summer. AC recharges, see a lot of those for recharging the air conditioning.
Oh, right. I might just have to, yes, consider that for one, at least a check on one vehicle. You know, but let's roll back a moment. The tires have come off the car. They're good as winter tires for the next winter. What's the best way to remind people how to store those tires? Just flat?
Flat. It helps you avoid
on top of one another.
Yeah, flat, because it helps avoid flat spots on the tread.
Okay.
Piled on, just, you know, set on one on top of one another's fine. If you can, keep them in the plastic bags.
Okay.
Especially if you're going to keep them outside. Really recommend you try to keep them inside or at least underneath a covered area. Keeps them out of the weather unnecessarily. You know, obviously tires are designed to be kept outside, but you know, right. When there's in storage, you want to make sure that, you know, you try to keep them out of the elements as much as possible. Preserve them to prevent any dry cracking on the sidewalls.
Now, there are a number of people who have opted for either just removing the tire from the rim and swapping them out each year. Others buy a different set of wheels so that they just swap the wheels. It makes it easier, a little more expensive up front. How many times can a tire be taken off and put back on without causing any problems?
It indefinitely. And I mean, until the tire itself loses its usefulness. Just because, I mean, a good tire shop or a good shop in general, when they're changing our tires in and out, I mean, yeah, the process, if you actually watch the process, you'd be actually kind of amazed at how how kind of violent it is, just because there's just, you know, air and everywhere, and, you know, there's all these tools, and there's lots of you know, prying and leverage. But you know, it's all designed to not puncture or damage the tire or the rim.
So it leads to a question, because I have fond memory. Many years ago, along the road in Europe, with my flat tire iron changing tools, changing a tire because at that point there was a puncture and a tube inside, and so I had to take the tire off. It happened. It was very difficult to do. And I know you don't do that now. But my point here is yes, it's possible to manually do it without a machine. But even the machines, the equipment that's being used to change it, must have evolved recently. Or is it pretty much in the last 10, 20 years been the same?
The concept always has always been the same. As tires and rims increasingly get larger and larger, I mean, a stock vehicle, I mean, it's nothing to pick up a brand new vehicle and it comes stock with 18-inch rims and tires.
Right.
Once you start getting up into that size rim and tire, especially if you have like a tire with a very, very low sidewall, low profile tires, it just gets more difficult. So you have to have make sure you have a machine. First of all, that's built to handle that size of rim and tire, but also, you know, you have the correct tools and everything to remove that tire from that rim without damaging the rim. The more danger comes in with damaging the rim.
Rim itself.
Yeah.
Okay. And rims have come now in all materials, and as you're pointing out, sizes, and tires themselves have. It appears to me more for appearance sake than anything else, very low profile, very thin tires.
A lot of it is for looks. Once you start getting into cars who actually, you know, performance type vehicles, a lot of it has to do with performance. The bigger the rim, the bigger size brakes that you can put on the vehicle. So there's a couple of different reasons, and not all of them have to do just with appearance, but for the most part, having big, you know, large rims and tires, a good majority of it for the normal everyday person does have to do with appearance. Yes.
Yeah. And there's a term that's been used. I see run flat.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
It's a tire that's designed, and I'm not super learned on the technology here, so we're just going to kind of have to settle for kind of a brief overview.
Okay.
But it is a tire that's designed to run flat, just like the name says it. I mean, most cars will have a set of tire pressure monitor sensors in the vehicle. We'll let you know if you have no pressure, if you have a flat tire, or if you're losing pressure on one tire. Mm-hmm. So the car will still let you know that you have a flat tire. But the tire is designed to go for a certain amount of miles while with no air pressure. They can be very, very difficult to change out. They're very expensive, exceedingly expensive. And only a few different car manufacturers will come stock with them, BMW being one of them. Although I think that they, because of cost, they have kind of gotten away from it there for a while. They were really big in the run flats, but I think they've started to kind of move away from that just because of the difficulty that it does come, especially up here in Alaska. They're not, you can only get them from one or two places in the state. So availability is kind of an issue.
Okay. So I'm going to guess that the message would be if you do not have a run flat tire on your vehicle and you notice you have a flat tire because you have an indicator that says it, or you look and you see that, you would not want to drive far, if at all.
You really don't, if you can help it. Up here in Alaska, sometimes, especially if you don't have the tools or equipment with you to change out and put your spare on, sometimes we don't have that much of a choice. Just keep in mind that even just running a vehicle, running a tire, just even low on air, not even necessarily flat, but low, can damage the tire. Lots of times what we'll see happen is the interior of the sidewall will get eaten away because it was run for too long with low air pressure. And then it eats away at the sidewall, and then that tire has become unusable because a large portion of the sidewall on the inside has been deteriorated enough to where it becomes dangerous because it can't hold the amount of pressure that it needs to be able to hold in order to move your vehicle safely down the road.
Okay. All right. So how often do you find, I noticed sometimes in the past, a tire has a little low pressure and you check it and say, oh, okay, it says low pressure. So I put more air into it, bring it up to spec, and it holds okay. Mm-hmm. How often does that kind of thing happen? That you might get a single tire that goes low but doesn't have an obvious leak and continues
all
to
the time. And it could be just over time, it could have just been that just lost enough air pressure to the point where you finally noticed it. You could have a very, very, very slow leak. And more often than not, that's what it is.
Okay.
Especially as tires and rims age, you could have maybe the bead around the tires not seated just perfectly enough to where it's holding air pressure. You could have, a slow leak somewhere else in the tire and rim, but it's really more often than not when you have that type where you're maybe just putting air in it maybe once a month.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could even have a slightly leaky tire valve. It really just kind of depends, but actually we see exceedingly slow leaks like all the time.
Okay.
And generally people, depending upon the rate of how fast it loses air, lots of people just generally just put air in their tires once a month or whatever. So
okay,
it's always a good idea to make sure you're checking your, especially if you don't have tire pressure monitor sensors, it's always a good idea to check your tire pressure at least once a month. Just because sometimes depending upon the size of the tire, sometimes it's easier to tell when it's low and sometimes it's not so easy.
Okay. I know that there's one vehicle which has an inflation capability built in, Hummer.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of a nice feature. Are you aware of any other more normal vehicles that would have such?
I am not, no. Just because the expense of the system that has to be utilized in order to have that function. I mean, I'm sure you're aware, Humvees came with that function because they're military based.
Right.
So it was designed to, as soldiers were being moved around in these transport vehicles, if they got a flat tire, they did not have to get out in an extremely, difficult situation to change a flat tire. The system is, I actually used to work, at a place where they did do, we had a couple of customers that had Humvees.
Okay.
And you had to have a specially trained technician just to be able to change the tires out on the system. The system itself was very complicated to work on, believe it or not. I know it sounds, you're just like, well, how complicated can it be? It just puts some air in the tire, when it runs flat. And no, it's a very complicated system, kind of difficult to work on. Not exactly a technician's favorite thing to do, just because of, it's kind of like a can of worms. Once you get in there, you fix one leak one place and another one will crop up somewhere else.
Okay.
So, but very cool system to have if, when it's working right and it can come in very handy.
So how big will a normal shop, say, be able, how big a tire can most dealerships or your shop handle before that you have to go off to a truck specialist? I mean, I know there are big tractor tires, and there are also big tires on those large trucks that travel down the road.
Most shops will only be able to handle light duty trucks and tires.
Okay.
Depending upon the shop, my shop can go all the way up to 20-inch rims before I kind of have to pass it off onto another shop who has a machine that can go all the way up to 22s.
Okay.
But the majority of those rims and tire packages are not common enough to where you're going to find that type of machine that can go up that high. Once you start getting up into, medium duty truck tires and heavy duty truck tires, that's when you're going to go to a truck tire shop. Just because that process is very different, and it's very dangerous. So there's one tire shop that I'm aware of in the Valley that does that type of tire changeover. I know that there's a couple more in Anchorage, but once you start getting up into that size tire for the big trucks, it gets a little bit different.
Right. So along with tires, I can remember in years past, more often changing shock absorbers. But I realize that I have not had in recent years a vehicle that has had a need for shock absorber replacements. Have they gotten better, or what's the story?
Oh, yeah. They've gotten better. The technology behind them has just increased so much. You have your different types of gas shocks. You could do, you know, struts. There's a whole bunch of different options for suspension components. But as you can tell, I mean, the technology behind them has increased dramatically. Yes.
Okay. Because that seemed to be one thing. I remember even doing them because they seemed like every few years they had to replace them. They were not expensive, but okay.
Well, yeah, they've gone up in price too. I mean, trust me, you're going to feel it when you have to replace them.
Okay. Well, I've asked questions about tires and so on, but you came here. Did you have some other topics you wanted to deal with?
I figure, you know, it's springtime. It's everything is starting to get nice and clean and shined up and pretty. That we talk about car care in terms of how to detail your car, like different tips and tricks on how to clean your car. I'm sure everybody out there is aware of the fact that if you choose to do this by yourself at home, make sure you have a nice sponge or a nice cloth that is very soft, non-abrasive, something that's not going to scratch the clear coat or your paint. Mm-hmm. Don't use soaps like dishwasher detergent. It can ruin the clear coat on your vehicle. So make sure you're using something that's made for washing cars.
Okay.
That kind of stuff. And, you know, there's lots of different tips and tricks that I've found for cleaning the interior of your car, too.
Oh, okay.
You know, one tip or trick is to use, you know, those little foam brushes that you can get at hardware stores.
Right.
You know, you can use them in staining. You can use those to clean out the vents. So you can get in there and kind of clean out the dust. Because that's always the most irritating place to try and clean. You know, my entire dashboard will be nice and clean and shiny and pretty. And then I take a look at my vents and I'm like, ugh. But trying to clean them can be a real pain. So,
well, even the surfaces on the dashboard are usually very nice. Some people use some cleaning I know that one product that has been mentioned and used a lot is Armor All, that mm-hmm. kind of thing.
Yep. Armor All is very, very popular. I mean, you can go into stores and see the most. I mean, there's just aisles and aisles and aisles of it. Mm-hmm. You know, Mother's actually makes a very nice product. I do prefer Mother's.
Okay.
It's a very extensive line. You can usually find anything from quick detailing sprays all the way on up to the most hardcore of waxes to keep your vehicle nice and clean and protect it and make it all shiny and pretty for springtime.
Okay. So there are three kinds of surfaces on the seats, leather, of course, then something which might be called faux leather, mm-hmm. Ranging from naugahyde to whatever. And then there are various fabrics. And the fabrics seem to me to be the problematic things because they seem to stain, et cetera. Any thoughts about that?
You know, you basically treat a fabric-covered car seat just like you would the carpet in your house.
Okay.
In fact, one of the neat tips and tricks I found was on how to remove crayon out of a car seat. And that involves you set a towel kind of onto the side of where the crayon or the wax is, and you take a like a brown paper bag, like a grocery bag.
Okay.
And you put it over the wax, and then you use a hot iron.
Okay.
And you place it over where the wax is at, and then you slowly just kind of move the paper along the way. And as it kind of acts like a sponge, so you're using the heat from the iron to heat the wax up, and then that paper acts as a sponge, and you're slowly just kind of
lifting
it and moving it out of the way. Very effective from everything that I've read and seen. Very neat trick to have, especially if you have kids, just because, you know, kids carry stuff in their pockets. You don't always know. And next thing you know, you have some crayon in a very inconvenient place. So you can really treat your fabric and your car seat just like you would at your carpet at home.
And so we've begun cleaning the windows in our house. And so we have windows in the vehicle, particularly the inside, which seem to accumulate all kinds of stuff. What's the best way to clean the inside of windows?
Just get a streak-free glass cleaner. Windex does decently. There are other sprays that you can find, like in the automotive detailing, the cleaning area, either in auto parts stores or even in Walmart. You carry some. You know, just a very simple vinegar and water mix. Mm-hmm. I've discovered actually works. It doesn't smell the best.
Right. Well, it's fresh.
But kind of. But, you know, I can use vinegar and water and, of course, a lint-free paper or towel. I grew up using newspapers.
Right, sure.
You know, after you use the newspaper, right, you know, you use the newspaper and usually you can get a nice streak-free and nice lint-free cleaning off the interior of your window.
Okay. So we've got windows. We've got the seats taken care of. Well, what about the leather and the faux leather? Leather, generally, I mean, I'm amazed at how tough leather seats are. But they do sometimes require, particularly as they begin to age, some care, just as any leather surface does. Any That's recommendations
right.
there?
That's right. When you're the tip to keeping leather is clean make it last a really long time is to keep it supple. You want to make sure that you're using cleaners that are made specifically for cleaning leather.
Right.
Because not all cleaners are going to be safe for that seat. Can you get away with wiping it down once or twice with a cleaner that's not formulated for leather? Yeah, you know you could, but over time it's going to damage the finish on that leather, dry it out, and it's going to start to crack. Yeah. And that's where you see the most damage to leather seats is because people don't keep them soft. And so the leather will crack and start to split. After you clean the leather, you want to make sure that you use something, a conditioner on it. Don't skip that step. Because once again, it all comes down to keeping the leather soft and supple. So that way it stretches and moves with you as you're sitting in it.
Okay. So we have also, usually people have some kind of mats in their car. I've tended to opt for mats that will be waterproof rather than mats that are fabric of some sort or look like carpeting, because in the winter it's nice to keep the wet there.
Yep, rubber mats up here are very popular, and they are very nice to have. One thing that I can say about those, and since we're talking about keeping your car nice and clean and smelling good, it is very tempting to leave the rubber mats in there and never take them out. The bad part about rubber floor mats is moisture, especially if you have the kind of floor mats that maybe don't go up 1 or 2 inches along the side of the footwell.
Right.
The water will get down in there. It'll get trapped underneath the rubber floor mat, and then you start to develop odors.
Okay, so make sure they're out and make sure the area beneath is also going to be dry.
Right.
Which helps a bit.
Or invest in the type of rubber floor mats that kind of go up. WeatherTech makes a really good set. Right. There's another set out there, Husky. I mean, there's all kinds of manufacturers out there that make a very good set of floor mats that will go up a couple inches along the footwell.
Yeah,
and that
helps. Just flat.
They're not just flat. And that kind of helps keep the water and the moisture trapped in the actual floor mat. And doesn't allow it to seep onto your carpet.
Okay. Those are good ideas. Let's see. What else is in the car that could be cleaned? Of course, something that we've talked about in the past is if you have a filter for the air coming in.
So yes.
Particularly the last few days, we've had some pretty dusty weather out there.
Yes. That's actually a really good tip. If you have a car that's equipped with a cabin air filter, don't forget to change that out after you've cleaned or before you've cleaned your car, because what's going to happen is you go and spend all this time cleaning out your car, and then the first time you go to use the AC or even, you know, on mornings like this where there's a little bit of a chill in there, you turn your heater system on, all this dust is going to get blown back into the car after all of your hard work. So yeah, I definitely want to change out your cabin air filter, make sure it's nice and clean. Keeps all that dust from redepositing back into the interior of your car. Absolutely.
Okay. And then back to the exterior, we talked very briefly about the material, what you would use, making sure that you have, if you're going to use some kind of soap product, that it be formulated for use on a car, and that you're careful about it. One of the devices that's been used instead of just a hose is a wand, a pressure wand. Is there any problem with using a pressure wand that sprays? And I know that whether you're going to a self-service cleaning wash place or you're at home on a hose, et cetera, any problem with using one of those wands to clean?
The only time that you're gonna run into problems, and first of all, you want to make sure you don't get up too close to the paint with that, because especially if you're at a commercial car wash,
right, high pressure. And,
they're high pressure, and those really can do some damage if you get up too close with them. So you're gonna want to make sure you kind of stand back a distance, and then be careful around damage that is already pre-existing on your car.
Okay.
So if you have an area that maybe took a hit, and you have a damage to the paint, or maybe the paint's starting to kind of crack and peel a little bit, be careful with those high pressure wands around in that area, because it will lift the paint even further and cause it to paint to peel and rust even faster. So be careful around areas that are already damaged.
So you get a small damage, just a tiny little nick of one sort or the other, not enough that you're going to take it to a body shop. There are all kinds of little paint touch-up things. What's your thoughts about that?
I mean, they're great as long as you're not looking for an absolutely perfect fix. You're still going to be able to see that touch-up spot.
Right.
You know, when you take it to a body shop and you ask for, you know, like a little area to be fixed, it's a lot more than them just coming out there with their paint and they just kind of fill it in,
right,
and send you on your way. I mean, it's actually a very complicated process with blending and all this other stuff to make sure that you have a perfect finish again. So if you're going to use touch-up paint, I mean, it's not bad. In fact, it's really great, and I would highly recommend it if, you know, you're looking for just something to kind of make it look a little bit nicer. But the most important part is to help it from rusting. Because anytime you have a paint chip or damage to the paint, you're going to have exposed metal underneath. And once you expose the metal to the elements, that's when you start running into rust problems. So, you know, it's great for protecting the metal again. You want to make sure you've cleared the area. Most touch-up sticks will have like a little wire brush or some sort of a way to clean the affected area before you put the paint down. That's very important. Just so that way you don't trap any pre-existing rust underneath the touch-up paint. So you're going to want to make sure you do that if you use that touch-up paint, for sure.
Okay. So the only part of the car we haven't talked about is underneath. Back in the day, there were a variety of undercoatings that were done. I'm not seeing that as much, or have I just not been looking?
Funny you should ask about that, because next week I am going to be bringing in a guest. He owns the detail shop here in Palmer. His name is Jim Beach. He's a very nice man, and he owns Card Eats right down the road from here.
Okay.
And he's going to be coming in and talking about exactly what you're talking about, undercoatings for vehicles, protective ways to protect your paint, ways to protect your car. He's got some a really cool product that I know that he wants to talk about in regards to that. So we will save that one for next week.
Okay. Well, that sounds great. That's good. Well, I think we've just about used up our time here. Any last comments for listeners before we do finish?
Just want to make sure everybody's getting out and enjoying the sunshine while we can. Summertime in Alaska is so beautiful, and it's so short. So whether you're out there in your car, or you're out there on your motorcycle, four-wheeler, whatever it may be, get out there and enjoy the sunshine. And as always, if anybody has any questions, concerns about their car, we love talking about cars at Edmunds and Port Auto. You're always welcome to come in and ask us anything you want. If we don't have the question, if we don't have the answer to your question, we will get it for you.
Okay. Well, thank you, Toby Edmunds. Coming in for another edition of You Ought to Know.